Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast on the Transcontinental Race number 8. Supported by our race partners, Apadura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. I'm Tom Probert. I've raced the previous three editions of the TCR, but this year I'll be following the race across Europe to bring you all the stories from the heart of the action across 8 episodes over the next 2 weeks. In this first episode, we'll be setting the scene to get you totally up to speed before the race kicks off on the 24th of July. We'll be going back to the roots of self-supported racing to explore its ethos, the phenomenon of dot watching, and the unique spirit shared amongst its community. We'll hear from the race directors to give us a preview of this year's TCR, and we'll meet some of the key riders to find out how they've been preparing. This year, we're introducing a new daily podcast where I'll be catching up with fellow TCR veterans Karen Tosti and Rob Quirk to chat about the day's race action and share some ultra-distance stories, maybe over a beer or two. This will be your opportunity to ask them all your burning questions about what it's like to be out there riding the TCR. Anything from dog chases to sleep deprivation, no question is too silly or too complex. Send your questions in by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is podcast question.
My name's Anna Haslock. I'm the race director for the Transcontinental Race and I am the managing director of Lost Dot. The Transcontinental Race is a race from one side of Europe to the other. It's roughly 4,000 kilometres and there's no set route. So part of the challenge for our riders is they have to design their own route. So obviously it's a race. So the idea is to design the fastest and most direct route. But there isn't just a start and a finish. So there's a start and a finish. And there's also 4 control points that we scatter across Europe. To keep the race interesting, we change those control points and often the start and the finish every year. So it's a fresh race every year, so it keeps it interesting and exciting.
The Transcontinental Race was created by Mike Hall, a successful bike racer who was at the vanguard of the self-supported ultra-distance movement. He was tragically killed in 2017. While racing his bike in Australia.
So Mike designed the Transcontinental Race actually during his Round the World race. He was racing the Round the World race in 2012, which was a circumnavigation of the world by bike, unsupported. And that race also was Design Your Own Route. The first leg of his route from London to Istanbul was going to take him roughly 2 weeks. And that was something that he felt was a lot more accessible. You could do it in 2 weeks holiday. And although it's not cheap to do, it's also something you could save up for and do if you're on a normal salary. So he came up with the idea for the Transcontinental Race. He'd raced the Tour Divide previously, so he was really interested in bikepacking. He was one of the first people to move bikepacking bags from a mountain bike onto a road bike. He broke the record and set a really impressive time and also finished in London on his birthday 10 years ago. When Mike designed the Transcontinental, he was inspired by the original Tour de France. The Tour de France, when it was first designed, you know, it was amateur cyclists, it was unsupported solo riders, so it wasn't teams, it wasn't backed by massive sponsorship and stuff like the Tour de France is now. And of course, you know, back in those days, roads were of varying quality. The idea was to take, you know, the romance, the sort of wonderful elements of kind of bravery and courage and maybe a bit of craziness, and take those elements and repackage them for a modern day bike race.
Now, a race needs to have some rules. And for us, people like the fact that we can print all of the rules on the back of this brevet card.
Mike very deliberately made sure the rules were minimal and vague enough to put the onus on the rider to make their own ethical judgments. This can be summed up as the spirit of the race, and it's central to what the TCR is.
And rule 10, ride in the spirit of self-reliance and equal opportunity, is the real important one. I mean, they're all important, but rule 10 is obviously very wide and all-encompassing, and that's the part of the rules that basically riders can understand through reading the race manual, through talking to other riders, through learning about the history of bike pack racing and unsupported racing, and really kind of immersing themselves in the history and the sort of nuances that you need to understand in order to properly follow rule 10.
We want people to think about it, think about what's there, and not to look for the gap. That defines our community.
It's a huge race over huge distances, so there's no way that we can know everything that all our riders are doing. So a lot of the race is run on trust, and if people start to do anything that would break that trust, it will really affect this kind of racing, this sport. And I, for me personally, the thing I love about this sport is that it relies on your honesty, and it relies on all of us committing to following the rules and respecting each other. That's, to me, what makes it so wonderful. We share the responsibility to keep that spirit, the spirit of the race, alive and well, so that the race can continue in the future and so that other people can take part. And, you know, the race gives you so much. If you do it properly, if you do it well, you will reap the rewards. And if you try and cheat, and if you take advantage and you do it wrong, you won't understand what this race can give you.
It's the modern day technology of GPS tracking that has allowed bikepacking races to be run, officiated and followed by fans. And it spawned the obsessive hobby of dot watching.
I'm Becky Waters. I'm the contributing editor at dotwatcher.cc, and I'm a veteran of the TCR number 7 from 2019. Dotwatcher.cc is a website that provides commentary on ultra endurance races from around the world on a variety of terrains, over distances, with as much variety as we can get. The idea was to bring together all the information that was sporadically found on social media, forums, and the tracking into one place where people can follow along, and the idea is that we provide all the information they would need. Dot watching is, in essence, the spectator experience of ultra endurance, self-supported bike racing. Each rider carries a GPS tracker, including each rider in one pair, and their tracker pings their location to the tracking provider, and on a map you are able to see each rider's dot moving across the route, or the free route as it is with TCR. And the idea is that you can see where people are, when, at what times. And this has so many uses to spectators who are simply following the race. They might be friends and loved ones or other members of the community following the race. It's also the only way to officiate the race, to check if a rider has stuck to the route or if they have in fact reached a checkpoint and followed the parkour correctly. It's also to see if they haven't taken a prohibited road, for example. Riders themselves also use the tracking. It's the only way for racers to know where the competitors are, and you see a lot of riders adopt different strategies. Certain riders will say they won't check the tracker for the first couple of days because there's nothing they can do about other people's distances, and then they might have a look to see whether they need to start chasing someone or someone else is biting at their heels. And for people like me who definitely aren't racing, it's just a good way to know where your mates are, to see where everyone else has gone. And for those, again, like me, who chose a somewhat dodgy route on TCR, you can also see your dot is the only dot moving across a certain part of a country when everyone else has gone through the capital city.
By combining the riders' locations, route history and speed data with reports and photos from their social media feeds, dot watchers can compile a tapestry of information to build a picture of what's happening out on the road.
I think it's a good way to describe it is a tapestry of information, and I would add to that that it's incomplete, and that is the beauty of it. With something like the Tour de France, you know exactly what's going on at all times. There's a camera on every rider at every kilometre, and that much information leaves very little to the imagination. Whereas I think dot watching described it as both a science and an art, which sounds a bit grandiose, so hear me out. As a science, it is fairly self-explanatory. You're checking the kind of numerical data of the ride, so how far they're going, how fast, perhaps the temperature of where they're riding, and all the information that you can find from much of the tracking. Whereas the art side, it's an art in its interpretation. And that is the point. We don't want to know exactly what is going on at all times. And you have a few photos from a couple of the photographers. They'll have the podcast and then the reports. And then, as is always the way with races, you can follow the riders on social media. And TCR have that good way of creating hashtags for each rider. Each rider has their own hashtag. And it's really easy to follow along on Instagram and Twitter, I believe. Each rider will typically put out exactly how much they want to. Some riders are quite quiet on social media, which makes them even more mystical because you really don't know what's going on. I don't think Fiona even had Instagram when she rode TCR in 2019. Whereas a lot of riders, typically those a bit further back who are happy to spend the time and potentially look for the Wi-Fi, they will put quite a lot of information out there, and you get this incomplete picture of the race, which is just so delicious.
As well as an immersive way for fans to follow the race, dot watching is essential for keeping an eye on the riders to make sure they're safe and following the rules. It's a huge task to monitor 280 riders around the clock, and it requires a vast team of volunteer dot watchers.
Okay, I'm Jan Willem Bobbing, living in the Netherlands currently. I've been riding TCR number four, and in the past three editions I've been volunteering. The first time as a dot watcher, and the second and this year will be in the role of team leader, where I'll support the individual dot watchers with their daily task of monitoring riders. I think the TCR is setting the lines and the rules that other races copy. So, and Mike obviously has some great ideas how he wanted to shape ultra racing. And yeah, we want to make sure as an organization to keep that same spirit of Mike alive. So it's important that we really watch to how people behave during the race and make sure that we teach people about it, to make sure people understand the rules. And we don't want people to sign up and just neglect them. So I think that's another reason why we have so much dog watchers during the race, checking on basically the quality of the race. And that makes it, I think, a bit different from other races where the organization will still check if people adhere to rules, but not in such detail as I've seen with the TCR. There's other races where after the race is finished, the race organizer will go over the GPS tracks and then check if everybody took the right route or not. But in this case, you know that, yeah, on the moment you make a mistake in your routing, people will notice. So there's so many people watching you that, I think it forces you to be honest to yourself, but also to the community of people that are watching. And of course, technology plays in hand that, like, in the beginning years, the trackers were not as good as they are nowadays. The software for actually tracking and mapping the dots on different kinds of maps wasn't there. So that also right now it's possible for my mom to actually see where I sleep if I race. 10 years ago, yeah, it was just a dot on a map and she didn't know how to use Google Maps, for example.
Time to get some dot watching advice from the pros.
Try to read personal blogs leading up to the event. There's many people blogging about the preparations. Because by doing that, you get kind of connection with the riders you're actually following. And it also makes you want to dive into all the things they do during the race. So instead of just following the lines and their ranking across the fields, I find it interesting that somebody that has been living like a monk has been eating healthy food since I followed their Instagram, and then day two of the race, they completely forget about it and start hunkering to McDonald's. The other thing I recommend is not only to follow the front of the field, but the back of the field usually has people with all kinds of amazing stories leading up to the race. So there's reasons why they ride, not just because they are good at it. They have a certain goal in mind or a certain reason why they do stupid things like racing 4,000 kilometers across Europe.
Definitely use the hashtags. Definitely follow Transcontinental Instagram because of all the photos they put out, and you get a pretty good picture of what's going on in the race. We're of course doing commentary at Dot Watcher, and then Transcontinental's doing their own reporting. But the beauty of dot watching is that you can, if the science and the art is a spectrum, you can sit on that spectrum wherever you like, and you can delve deep into the dots and look at the kilometers at the distance of, that the riders are riding each day, or you can totally do away with the numbers and you can just follow, I guess, the stuff that the riders are putting out themselves and that's being written and podcasted about the race. If you are a dot watcher of TCR this year, don't be shy to get involved. Comment on people's Instagrams, give them words of encouragement. It's a massive boost to some people. And if they're putting stuff out on social media, then they're probably also reading it. Just get involved. Don't be shy.
This year should have been the 10th edition of the race, but the global pandemic has forced it to be postponed twice, meaning it's now 3 years since TCR number 7. The race is finally back, with a new route and some new recruits. So let's hear how everyone's feeling about getting the show back on the road.
It's really exciting to be back and to feel like we're definitely going to, well, hopefully, touch some wood, going to Gnadsbergen in a couple of weeks' time. It does feel pretty real now. I'm sure it does for all of our riders. And all of our volunteers and all of our sponsors. So it's very exciting, pretty nerve-wracking. I feel like I've definitely forgotten some things, but I'm hoping I haven't. And, you know, it's really exciting to have David with me. You know, it feels we're a really good team. We've worked really well since January.
My name is David Eyre, and I am the race coordinator for the Transcontinental and Trans-Pyrenees bike race. I would describe myself as the failed athlete of my family. My dad was a professional footballer and then a football manager. My great uncle was a professional rugby league player and a champion boxer. My nan was an Olympic standard sprinter. And I've tried rugby, football, sprinting, and none of them have quite worked out. But then fell in love with riding my bike. And so over the past 8 years now, I've taken on like progressively bigger challenges. And then a couple of years ago, applied to take part in the Trans-Pyrenees race. So was actually meant to be a part of one of the Lost Dot events. Sadly, that was postponed due to COVID. But through that, got speaking to Anna. And then it's led me to this fantastic opportunity and the adventure of a lifetime since the start of the year. The prospect of passing through some of my favourite cycling destinations anywhere in the world feels like an incredible privilege, and I'm really, really excited to see some fantastic bike riders pit themselves against some pretty big challenges over the course of this year's route. So seeing how they solve those problems which come up, I think is going to be really fun. On a very kind of specific level, I'm incredibly excited for the start. So the idea of being in Herodsbergen and watching the people take on that famous kind of cobbled climb to kick things off, I think that's going to be brilliant, and I think will help set the tone for the passage through a number of iconic locations over the course of TCR number 8. So like after 2 years without the race, the opportunity to come back and participate in the Transcontinental is just a huge thing for everyone. And you can really see that in the communications that we have with the people in like our Facebook group or on Instagram or just over email as well. Like they're so happy to have this opportunity to like both take on a great race but also take on a great adventure at the same time. And I think like that has felt that's felt really nice. And also thinking back to something Anna said around like the romance of the early days of the Tour de France as well. And like one of the things that I've certainly done in the last like year, but it's even more so in the last 6 months, is immerse myself in the history of cycling more broadly. Those 2 years haven't gone to waste. They've gone into planning for future editions of the race as well, and thinking about the different locations that we can take people. So while it might have been sad to not run those races, it's going to have, I think, a really positive impact on the things that we can do both this year and in the future as well.
So which iconic locations will our riders be passing through? Here's Anna again to take us on a whistle-stop tour of this year's control points.
So for TCR number 8, we're going to be starting in Herodsbergen again. After starting in Burgas in 2019, and then a couple of years of obviously not being able to hold the race, it felt really great to kind of bring the race back, almost home it felt. You know, we know what the start's going to be like at Herodsbergen. Everybody's seen the pictures and the video of, you know, the kind of like magical start with torches and people lining the Muir, and then the riders, you know, starting that really difficult climb up the Muir, and then riding off into the night, each choosing their own path to the next control point. You see those tail lights winking off into the distance, into the night. So that's where we'll be starting. And then this year we'll be sending riders due east across Germany, and they're heading across Germany into Czech Republic. And the first control point is at a really beautiful place called Krupka. The parkour takes riders through kind of rolling hills and nothing too desperately steep, but there'll be some off-road sections, there'll be beautiful little towns to ride through, and we hope it will give riders a kind of glimpse of, you know, what cycling in the Czech Republic has to offer. So there's a sort of horseshoe shape parkour, CP1, that the riders are expected to take before heading south. Then they'll be riding back through Germany, entering into the Alps and the Dolomites, through Austria and into Italy. And the second control point, CP2, is Passo Gavia in Italy, which is a famous pass in Italy, very famous in cycling history. The weather has been known to be kind of terrible there at times. However, hopefully this year, no snow, but we'll see. After CP2, riders will be heading down to a control point that we've had in the past in Montenegro called Dermator. It's a national park. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. You know, if you're lucky enough to do the parkour at sunset or sunrise on a clear day, you'll have the most magical experience. The control point itself is located at a really cool little blues bar that's hosted as before. It's a really lovely, relaxed place. It's down by the river. And then after that, riders will be heading slightly north again. They'll be expected to cross through Serbia, and then they need to make their way to the fourth control point in Romania. And there's two very famous cycling destinations in Romania. One is the Transfăgărașan, which we've used as a control point before in the past. And this year's parkour and control point is just off the Transalpina. and it's an off-road section that sort of leaves the Transalpina right at the top of that mountain pass and takes the riders on a very, hopefully dry, but definitely off-road section of route that sort of takes them due east, when they'll be expected to then find their way across the Danube and towards Burgas in Bulgaria, where the finish of TCR number 8 will be.
In 2019, Fiona Kolbinger won the transcontinental race, making her the first female winner and in her first ultra event. So after 3 years of being the reigning champion, how is she feeling about coming back to the event that announced her on the world stage?
I'm looking forward to the adventure, to be honest, and I'm excited about the route. I think it's some great bits out there, and I'm really looking forward to the part of the route that crosses the Balkans. I'm definitely not going into the race wanting to win it, but of course it's a race, so I'm going to push myself. And I don't think that's actually mutually exclusive, so I need to decide on one thing. So my mindset has always been that I want to have this adventure, and I still want to push myself, and I will still enjoy 95% of it. Of course, there will be bits that will be hard, and sometimes it will also be painful. I think it would be a bit naive to go into any of these races wanting to win it, to be honest, because you can only be disappointed in that case. I never went into any of the races that I did, not the TCR and not any of the races I did since I won the TCR 3 years ago, wanting to win it. Of course, I'm a competitive person, and I will be the competitive person that I am this year again on the TCR. But my expectation is that I may be able to kind of, just annoy the fast guys a little bit in the front. It can be a bit hard to explain to people why you are doing this. I guess what keeps me coming back is really the community, because to do these races, you need to be a bit special, right? Like, you need to love that kind of adventure, and you need to be into this self-supported thing. There is a very special, that kind of atmosphere at the start and at the finish and at the checkpoints, and I'm really looking forward to that.
The same summer that Fiona claimed victory, over in Spain, Ulrich Barthelmos was winning his first ultra race, discovering a new talent and alerting the world to a new name on the scene. He went on to win 8 of the next 10 races he entered, then set his sights on the transcontinental.
It's a fascinating thing to cross Europe. Like, I have this image of the map and the line I plot there in mind, and this is just amazing. And so I applied for 2020. Well, since then, a lot of things have changed. So I'm more than happy that I'm still able to come to the race this year. You know, 2020, I started full with enthusiasm and motivation to plan the route and do everything, because it's a big adventure and super cool. And then there was, I had my route basically ready, completely ready till end of February or something. And I remember it like yesterday, mid of March, COVID hit and borders closed. And I guess the race then was postponed in August, in April or something. Well, in the end, looking to 2021, it turned out that I could put the route completely to the bin and started the same process all over again. I had the route for 2021 like 80-90% ready when it was postponed again. So it was not making me so happy, let's say it like this. And so this year with the third attempt, it was quite hard to restart and find motivation to do it.
With such an impressive list of victories in the world's hardest ultra races, Ulrich's almost expected to win. So what's his mentality going into the TCR?
I don't really do it for the win. but I do it for very personal goals that I set on each race, not just to race against others. And that's the most important thing for me. I try to race as much as I can against myself and against my own boundaries and my own limits and everything. And if there is a strong competition, it's even more fun, and actually it helps to push myself. I know pretty well who else is coming. So I'm really, really looking forward. I guess it will be one of the strongest or the strongest ever roster we saw so far. We will have like pretty good guys from Germany. Björn is coming back, who has a lot of experience on the transcontinental, which is like, from my point of view, having experience on this kind of races and the long distance and the really lot of days races. It's a pretty good advantage. Fiona is coming back, who is always doing pretty efficient, which will be quite interesting to see again. Another new guy, Sebastian Breuer, who was racing with me. Also Badlands, for example. He's a pretty strong rider. He is coming. And Christoph Strasser from Austria, six times winner of the Race Across America. He did a lot of crazy stuff in supported races. And he's a crazy strong guy.
Hi, everybody. My name is Christoph Strasser from Austria. I did a lot of supported long distance races in the past, like Race Across America or 24-hour records. And this year will be my first attempt in unsupported racing at the TCR. I always liked riding the bike in the combination of adventure and bike race. So that's what ultracycling is making so fascinating for me, having these two aspects in just one sport. I wanted to have a new goal, a new challenge, and I've in the last years, when unsupported racing became more and more popular, of course I was following all the races and the TCR and also other races, and I was always very interested in like finding out what unsupported racers can do in supported racing and the other way around. And there are not a lot of people who did well in both disciplines. And I just want to see how I can do in the other discipline, which I'm not so used to. In my perspective, I think that the TCR race has the most prestige. It's the prestigious race from all out there. It's like it's a little bit like the Race Across America of unsupported racing. It's the most important race there is, and so that's why I chose to be there, because I think it's the benchmark of unsupported racing.
As a six-time Race Across America winner, does Christoph see himself as the automatic favorite to win the Transcontinental?
Oh my goodness, no. I do not consider myself as a favorite, definitely not. I'm a completely rookie in that sport. Of course, there are some similarities, like riding the bike for a long time with little sleep and being as fast as possible, but the way how to achieve that is completely different. So I will not be putting pressure on myself by setting a goal like winning the race or something. I want to achieve an official finish, no matter how long it takes, and I want to avoid the biggest rookie mistakes, but I'm sure I will make mistakes, because it would be like impossible to do the first race without having some hopefully small failure, and not a big failure, definitely. And if you want to have a perfect race, you will always be disappointed, because it's impossible to deliver a perfect performance.
Even with such an impressive CV, there are still some aspects of self-supported racing to get nervous about as a TCR rookie.
One of the craziest things in my imagination is traveling to the start line 3 days before the start with nothing, just with the bike and with 5 kilograms of luggage. And you check into an Airbnb room 3 days before the race, and you just have your mobile phone, your Garmin, your bike kit, and a pair of socks and a pair of shoes. And I will sit in my room and get nervous. I'm not really looking forward to these pre-start days, because otherwise I would have my full equipment and write some emails and have my laptop and do the final stuff, some small preparations, have a lot of things to do, just to, yeah, not to think too much. But this is very strange for me, just thinking about the days before the start.
The Transcontinental Race isn't purely a solo competition. There's also a pairs category. This year, two veterans of the race who have both finished in the top 10 in previous years as solo riders are teaming up to create a TCR supergroup that they hope will be even stronger than the sum of its parts.
Hello, hello. Hello, Checkpoint 12. Hello, everybody. I'm Waja Stefan. I've done plenty of ultra endurance races since now, like maybe 7-8 years now. Transcontinental Race Edition 8 will be my sixth participation. And for changing a bit the challenge this year, I'm going to ride with my with a guy that I used to meet almost every race I'm doing the last years. Theo Daniel from Rouen.
Yes, I am Theo, and I ride a bicycle 2019. I do my first transcontinental, and it was my first ultra cycling race, and I like this. And after I finish 8th, during this race, I meet Stefan.
When we ride as a pair, we do have the presence of someone that we can talk, that help us to stay active mentally, and that's help a lot to fight the sleep deprivation.
The pairs and solo classifications are separate competitions, but Stefan and Theo have ambitions to go just as fast as the top solo riders.
Yeah, our aim, our first goal is, yes, to win the pair category. We think that all the previous years, there was no pair that was as competitive as us. And we have really good hope to perform as a pair. Theo and me, we both did top 10 classification during the previous years. And we want to do even better than what we did as solo. So we want to be at the front of the race, at the very front. Well, but I'm going to end this interview.
Yeah, man.
Just by saying that I hope everybody is going to enjoy the race as a rider or as a dirt watchers. Thank you for everybody supporting the riders. And also particularly thank you to the volunteers taking part of in making the transcontinental race possible, especially now that after the COVID, it's been tough for everybody. So I hope that we are going to see a lot of people enjoying this race again.
In the next episode, we'll be in Gerardsbergen in Belgium with around 280 riders all eagerly awaiting the start of the race. Join us then to be immersed in the atmosphere of the start. Nervous riders, bike setups, briefings, carb loading and cobbles. The TCR is back. Don't forget to send in your questions for the TCR Chat podcast by email to race@transcontinental.cc and make sure the subject is Podcast Question. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in Belgium. This podcast is supported by our race partners, Apidura, Physique, Hutchinson, Kinesis, Komoot, LEM Helmets, and Pedaled. All the music has been created for this series by Joe Skinner.